So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Galatians and chapter 3. Over the last few weeks, we've been tracing our way slowly but surely through Galatians. And it's good for us from time to time, rather than following a theme and jumping about the Bible, it's good for us just to focus on a particular book of the Bible. And we've been focusing on Galatians for the last few weeks. And today we come to Galatians 3, verses 1 to 5. And I'm not sure there's any other way to put it than Paul is having what we would commonly call a rant. Okay, so Galatians 3, verse 1. "You foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" Pause there. We pray that God might help us to have open hearts and minds today, not just to hear, but to respond to everything that he will say to us. As we've looked at Galatians, we've done so under this heading of transformation, the transformation that comes about in our lives and, in fact, in the lives of anyone who responds to the gospel. And we've discovered that as we've traced our way through Galatians, this letter very much is about the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus, what that is and what it means and how we can enter into that gospel. And today, I've just got that heading up the top, moving on in the Spirit, because Paul, in this passage, focuses particularly upon the activity of the Holy Spirit. And this is in the middle of his rant at the Galatians. And it might help you to think that Paul rants when he gets mad about something. He's passionate about what he believes. And that's what he does. We've been thinking about gospel and mission. Paul has laid out in this letter thus far what he understands the gospel to be, the good news concerning Jesus. The good news that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from what he calls this present evil age. Jesus gave himself for us, for our sins. That's part of the gospel that Paul is clear he has announced to the Galatians. He has also announced as part of this good news, not only has Jesus given himself for our sins to rescue us, but God has raised Jesus from the dead. This extraordinary transformation has taken place not just in and for Jesus, but in the whole universe. A transformation has taken place because somebody has been raised bodily from the dead like no other person had ever been raised bodily from the dead. Different to Lazarus, different to any other example we can think of in Scripture, Jesus' experience was unique. And so Paul is clear, even in this letter, that he has announced Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us. God raised Jesus from the dead. But the third thing that you may remember that we've touched on is he emphasizes all of this. Everything that happened to Jesus was not fluke or coincidence or accident, but it was all according to the plan of God. And he repeats this. It's all according to the plan of God. And I think Paul announces this as part of his good news, part of his announcement, to emphasize God has a control of the universe that we struggle to get our minds around. But he has a control of the universe. And he has a way of doing things that we do not fully understand. Not only have we learnt about the gospel, but we've also learnt about mission. Paul is convinced that he should be able to move out from the Jews. Remember, we've talked about the different nations of the world, all these different people groups. And God had poured his blessing on Abraham and said to Abraham, I'm blessing you, but you're going to be a blessing. Your descendants are going to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. So that blessing has come to Abraham, to his descendants, to the Jews. And Paul is convinced that he is able to take that blessing out to all the different nations of the world. And all he has to do is announce Jesus. He is convinced that that blessing is personified in Jesus. And he hasn't got to ask all these other nations to be circumcised, to follow the Jewish law, to adopt certain Jewish traditions. He's convinced he hasn't got to do all that. He hasn't got to add all that baggage on to people. But all he's got to do is announce Jesus. And people will respond with faith or not. But there are others who say, no, if you want to enter into this blessing, then you must become like us. You must obey the law, you must be circumcised, and so on. And we've talked all about this. And so this debate has, I'd say in inverted commas, this tremendous argument that threatens to split the church, the early believers, has been taking place. So we understand the good news is about God's blessing. God loves his creation. God loves you. God loves me. God loves everyone. And there is good news here. Good news is about God's blessing. And God's blessing is seen in Jesus. And this is all that we've reflected on previous weeks. And as I mentioned, in Galatia, there was this ongoing debate, and not just in Galatia, but in Jerusalem and all over Asia Minor at that time. There was this ongoing debate. How do Jews and non-Jews enter into this blessing? The blessing that was given to Abraham, but a blessing that was to be shared with all the nations. How do Jews enter into that blessing? And how do non-Jews enter into it? And there might be a clue in the way I just put this out. By faith in the Lord Jesus, or by accepting the traditions of the Jews? Which one do you think I'm trying to point towards? You know. So by accepting, and this has all come up in Galatians, by accepting the traditions of the Jews, the law, circumcision, other traditions, and so on. And this has been set out. How do you enter into the blessing of God? Is it by faith in the Lord Jesus, and that's it? Or do you have to somehow become like a Jew, because they were the first to experience the blessing? Almost like, we're first, so you must be like us, rather than accepting that God is going to do something different in every nation of the world. And different traditions will emerge in different ways in all these different nations and people groups. And we won't all look like the Jewish way of following Jesus. And so this is all that we've followed in the last few weeks. And again, I think I've already said this, Paul has stressed that anyone and everyone can enter into the blessing of God, and click it, by faith in the Lord Jesus. And this is why he has this rant. He's already ranted at the Apostle Peter. He's already ranted at Barnabas and other Jews. But here he turns his attention to the Galatians. Paul here in chapter 3 specifically addresses the Galatian church to say to them, okay, I've just talked about the broad picture of what's going on. How do you enter into the blessing of God? By faith in Jesus, that's what you trust, or by becoming a Jew, by becoming like the first nation. And he now says to the Galatian church, what are you doing? What's happened to you? You began so well, and some things change. Now, here's five different things that we learn from this passage. The first thing about the Galatians we learn in verse 1. They had been presented with the gospel concerning Jesus. In verse 1, halfway through, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. So the Galatians have done nothing to earn this. There's nothing to their credit here. It was a presentation made to them. And Paul is emphatic. Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I made it clear what had happened to Jesus and what this meant. But there's nothing they can claim to their credit here. The second thing we learn about Galatians is that they received the gift of the Spirit. Not only had they heard about Jesus, clearly they had responded to what Paul had said, and Paul and Barnabas and the others had said, and they'd responded clearly with faith, because having heard, they had believed with faith, and they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there it is in verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Did you receive the Spirit? Clearly, they had received the Spirit. Now, you might start to identify with this yourself. I think, yes, I myself, I've heard about Jesus. You know, you could probably tell back to me as much about Jesus as I can tell to you. About his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into glory, the fact that he is returning. And you might think, yeah, that's me. I can go with number one. I've heard it. I can also go with number two. Just like the Galatians received the Spirit, certainly either that is a present experience for me of the awareness of God's Holy Spirit manifested in his love for me, or it may be that we look back on our lives and say, well, I remember a time when I was particularly alive with this sense of vibrancy, in the sense of the Holy Spirit filling my life. It may be that all sorts of things have happened between then and now, and you don't feel that sense of vibrancy. You don't feel and experience that sense of God's love in your heart that the Holy Spirit brings. But here we learn about the Galatians. They'd been presented with the gospel concerning Jesus, and they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The third thing, the Holy Spirit enabled them to begin their discipleship. In verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So not only have they heard, not only have they responded to the gospel, they have received the gift of the Spirit, but then it's clear that they would never have begun if it was not for the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit hadn't prompted them, if the Holy Spirit hadn't energized them, if the Holy Spirit hadn't encouraged them or challenged them, they would never have made that beginning, having begun with the Spirit. And again, there's nothing here that we can say, God, the Galatians, they must have been a good bunch. Because all they've done is they've heard and they've said, yeah, we believe this to be true. We would trust it. We will have faith in this. And they received the gift of the Spirit. Well, there's when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not because you've kind of completed a tick chart and you've been awarded, okay, now you've got to the end, you can receive the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is free. And God graciously, in his love, pours it out on you. And here, the Holy Spirit enables them to begin. Well, just like us, we could not begin our discipleship, and they couldn't begin their discipleship without the Holy Spirit. So again, they're in debt to God and his goodness for giving them the Holy Spirit and enabling them to begin. The fourth thing we discover is that they suffered in their faithfulness. There in verse 4, have you suffered so much for nothing? We're not told here what their suffering was. It could have been that for some of them, as they turned to the Lord Jesus in faith and they received the Holy Spirit, that some of them in Galatia said, well, hang on, God has placed within my heart such a deep love for himself. You know, I don't want to mess with that love. And my tradition is to worship other gods as well. That would be quite normal, to worship lots of gods. I can't do that anymore. But that's my family tradition. That's my work tradition. But I'm not going to do it. So maybe they have suffered because they've stepped away from all of that. Maybe they have suffered because they were involved in some way in certain relationships that would be completely normal in their culture. But now they have received the Spirit. They say, I can't do that anymore. And everybody goes, but it's normal. And there are all sorts of things that they may have done that would otherwise have been considered normal. And they've said, no, we're stepping back from that. And because of that, they have suffered. You know, we shouldn't always imagine that the early Christians suffered because they were standing up there in the town square announcing the good news. They didn't. A lot of them suffered just because of what they now refuse to do. They stepped back from certain traditions and they suffered. And I guess it may have been true for the Galatians, suffering in their faithfulness. So here we have a group of people who look like they're really going for it. They've heard the gospel, they've responded, they've received the Spirit. They're aware they wouldn't have begun without the Spirit. They have suffered in their faithfulness. And the fifth thing is they experience miracles as well. There in verse 5, does God give you a Spirit and work miracles among you? Here's a church that have experienced miracles, and we're not told what the miracles are. But who knows? It may have been miracles of healing. It may have been miracles of multiplication of food for the poor. We don't know what the miracles were, but clearly, here's a church. We'd go to it and think, wow, this is a fantastic place to be. The Holy Spirit clearly was evident amongst them and within their lives. And again, we might identify with all of this and say, yeah, I can tick all of this off. I've experienced all of this. I've been there. I am there. And yet, what is also true, but then the Galatians changed course. And that's why Paul has this extraordinary rant at them. Because we have this group of believers who have begun so well, who are living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they change course. Now, you know, we've got to give them some slack in a way. Because we've understood from Galatians that even the Apostle Peter has changed course. Even the great encourager Barnabas has changed course. Even many other significant Jews have changed course. There is this pressure group going around saying, if you want to enter into the blessing of God given to Abraham, you must obey the law. You must be circumcised. You must follow other Jewish traditions. And Peter said, I think you might be right. Barnabas said, I think you might be right. And other Jews said, I think you might be right. And Paul has announced a gospel that says you don't have to do all that. You just have to have faith in the Lord Jesus. And so what Paul does at this point, as he rants at the Galatians who've begun so well, he speaks about the Spirit and he speaks about the flesh. And he sets these up on either sides. On the one side, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And on the other side, he has what we call the flesh. And he has this in one of the verses there that I can't. Of human effort in verse 3. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort or by flesh? On the one side, we have the Holy Spirit. On the other side, we have flesh or human effort. What we do ourselves to all that hard work to follow Jesus, to be acceptable to God, to do all of the right things. Now, the Spirit is aligned with faith. The Spirit comes to us and opens our eyes and helps us to understand that all we need is faith, trust in the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to us and gives us that understanding. And then as there is a flicker of response within our hearts, the Holy Spirit energizes us and helps and encourages us to make the first steps in our journey of faith. So Spirit and faith, that's how Paul sets it out in this passage. Spirit and faith. But flesh, he aligns with works of the law. Flesh, this human effort, he says that's about the works of the law. And we can say, well, what are these works of the law? This attempt that is seen to be made. And I think it is simply accepting the traditions and laws of Judaism as the means to enter the blessings of God. And thinking that's the only way to enter in to the blessings of God. So Paul, as he challenges the Galatians, so we can challenge ourselves. Where do we stand? Is it about the Holy Spirit for us? Are we still living in that place today where we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to get us through? Where we pray because, God, I need you? Or have we got to that point that Paul sometimes talks about as the flesh, the human effort, and thinking, do you know what? I've done this so many times, I know how to do it. I don't need to rely on the Holy Spirit too much because I know what to do and I know how to do it. And I can rely on myself to get through. And that's the dichotomy that is set up. In this particular case, it's about, do I have to just do all the things of Judaism, or can I just trust in the Lord Jesus? Now, right after this service, there will be the opportunity, if you want somebody to pray for you and with you, then you'll be able to do this afterwards. And I would encourage you, even now, to be thinking, you know, God, what are you saying to me? What are you prompting within my heart and my life? What response do I need to make? We understand the Galatians began with faith in the Lord Jesus, such good faith, strong faith in the Lord Jesus. They enjoyed wonderful blessing from God. And I do think if we looked to them and went to Galatia, we'd have thought this is great what they're experiencing and we can share with them. And then they were deceived into thinking that faith in the Lord Jesus was not enough. And that is a deception and it's a lie. And that's why Paul is ranting. Because his beloved Galatians have been deceived. It is only by faith. Just believing. And of course, faith, just in case we think faith is a weak word, I can believe. You know, I can believe in Jesus. It's okay. Faith is such a strong word. Such a strong word. It's a deep word. It's about trust in somebody. If you've ever been in a relationship, you know what it is to have faith. You know what it is to trust someone. And I suppose the sad thing is that when you've been let down, you really understand what faith is because it's very sharp for you and it cuts you deep. And then you understand more than ever before what faith is. And it's to trust a person. We don't trust in a thing. We don't have faith in a thing, but we have faith in the living God. And it's a relational trust. And the Galatians were deceived into thinking that faith in Jesus was not enough. They had to have more. And Paul says, no, that's all you need to begin your journey and to continue your journey. And for us, just as he rants at them, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Are you so foolish?" These things that he just shouts out at them. You can imagine, you know, it's almost as if he's breaking the nib on his pen if he was writing it. No, you know, just so annoyed at what has happened to them. Now, here's a verse from Acts chapter 2, when the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost stands up and announces the good news about Jesus. What does he say? When he's asked, what must we do? A load of people come to Peter and say, what must we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here we see faith right from the beginning. Faith, it's seen in repentance and baptism, that trust. Now, I can believe in something, but faith is most often seen. It's not just something we have within our hearts and minds. It is when we begin to do stuff with what we believe and we begin to trust. So to repent, to turn away from the way it has been done, to say, no, I'm going to depend, rest my life on you. I'm going to depend upon God for my life. I'm going to demonstrate that in baptism as the break with the old and the beginning of the new. That faith is demonstrated in that. And then, of course, we have here the gift of the Holy Spirit. How do you enter into the blessings of God? Is it by doing a whole load of stuff? Is it by obeying this rule or this regulation about adhering to this tradition of how we should do church or not? By this music or this Bible translation or whatever? Or is it by having faith in the Lord Jesus and living according to his teaching and his life? And our journey following Jesus begins with faith. And the Holy Spirit each day will equip and empower us to continue that journey. And we learn today from a church that was, you know, literally 2,000 years ago, almost. And their experience can mirror so much of ours. Having begun with the Spirit, will we now try to continue with human effort? And it may be that that's where we've got to. And maybe afterwards, your response can simply be to come up and to receive prayer. Ask for a blessing of the Holy Spirit on you.